good. Back when we made theme music for TV shows, good morning. I'm Andrew McKay at Spence Cola Morning News. And Bruce Woody is the executive director at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. They do your trash, they do your recycling, they do your yard waste, they do your water and your sewer. They do a lot of stuff that really matters a lot to your ordinary life. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Glad to be here, Andrew.
Good to have you. The main conversation I want to have with you is about PFAS and the rules the EPA just came out with, because I know that's going to affect everything that y'all do or a lot of what you do. But before that, two quick notes I want to get to. One is that one of the things you guys worked on yesterday is a project that is going to have potentially major traffic impact on Softley Field, Michigan at Mobile Highway. Is that right?
That's true. We're going to be replacing the transmission main on Michigan Avenue. We're doing that in advance of a FDOT project that they're also doing on Michigan Avenue. Our work will start on the west side of Mobile Highway over at Royal Port Court. That's just a couple blocks west of Mobile Highway. And we'll continue east to Esperanto Drive, which is about 8 or 10 blocks east of Michigan Avenue. Again, this is work we've just advertised for bids here, so it'll start occurring in the fall. And it's advance of some work that MoDOT or FDOT's doing.
All right. And so that's basically going to, I mean, again, at Softley Field, Michigan, at Mobile Highway, and you're going to be replacing a water main there as part of an FDOT project that's coming in the future. Very good. And like you said, it won't happen tomorrow or anything, but when it does, you'll know it's happening. The other thing is you guys have budget meetings coming up, right? If people want to, you know, learn about the budget for ECUA or have input on it.
Yes, our budget cycle runs from October 1st to September 30, and this is the time of year that we review budget proposals for the next fiscal year. So for FY25, we'll be meeting on May 13th, 14th, 15th. That's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then also the following Tuesday, the 21st. Those meetings start at 3 p.m. in the afternoon at our Elson Field facilities, and we'll be giving program by program project descriptions and talking on finances for next year.
Very good. Speaking of things that cost money, the EPA just came out with its, I think the final rule, it's always a long time coming, this stuff, but on the forever chemicals, PFAS, which we know is an issue in our area because of the firefighting foam that was used at, you know, NAS Pensacola, NAS Whiting Field, and that it's in a lot of stuff anyway, aside from that. My understanding of this is that this is going to wind up costing a fairly significant amount of money because of the requirement to do testing and then the filtering and all of that. So you tell me, how is this going to affect me as an ECUA customer? How is this going to affect costs for your organization?
Okay. Yes, this is a project that's been a long time coming. The first health advisories for PFAS came out clear in 2009. So here we are all these years later. We finally have actual limits that we can plan for. ECUA's board.
What are those limits? What are the numbers? I just don't remember the numbers.
4 parts per trillion.
Okay.
4 parts per trillion, not billion.
You're right. Not even million.
Trillion.
PPT, very small.
Extremely small. In fact, part of what went into consideration for choosing those numbers by the EPA is what we are technically able to even monitor for and sample for.
Right. So the limits of the testing capability are part of what determines what's the safe limit of you know, parts per trillion in the water. Go ahead. I want people to understand how low these thresholds are. Go ahead.
Yeah, remarkably low. So anyway, they are in place now. What happens with all new regulations is a period of time that those being regulated have to come into compliance. Key items for everybody across the nation, not just ECUA, is that public water systems have 3 years initially until 2027 to complete their initial monitoring. By the way, we've already completed that. Water systems must also then share public information over that period of time. That information is already available. Public water systems then have 5 years to implement solutions that reduce PFAS amounts in the water. This board and previous boards have been investing in this topic, knowing it was coming for many years. We already have 9 wells that have those systems filtering systems already in place. Another four are currently in construction as we speak before this rule even came down.
And how many other wells are there? I always forget the total number of wells. So you have nine with filters, four under construction for the filters, and then how many other wells?
And then there's another 13 that are planned. As these discussions have gone on over the years, back in 2009, they thought the limits would be 200. Then they thought they would be 70. And then here they dropped all the way to four. So we were putting in things expecting those higher numbers when we first started this program back in 2009. Another 13 are planned because we have the possibility of some of those wells not meeting that four parts per trillion. We have four wells that have just never had any hits, non-detect, so probably will never need filtration on them.
And on the since you guys were aiming at a much higher threshold, is the filter itself something that can be? Can you go from like, well, we had thought that it was going to be 70 parts per trillion, and so we bought filter A. It turns out that it's going to be four parts per trillion, and that means that we need to get filter B. Can you just order filter B and put it in the apparatus that was going to be designed to use filter A, or do you have to put in a whole new system for protecting that well?
No, it doesn't really work that way. We use activated carbon mm-hmm. for the filtration system, and we take samples over the lifetime of that filter to determine the amount of withdrawal that's being made between the raw water coming in and the finished water that's going out.
Got it.
And all that means is if there's a threshold, that means that we have to replace that GAC more frequently than we would otherwise.
Okay, so the filters themselves,
which is a real big
the filters themselves produce what would essentially be undetectable on the backside, on the outgoing side.
Correct.
It's just that they only can do that for so long, depending on what level you're hitting. So it starts at zero, and then it's one, it's two, and then when it hits four, you say, "Oh, we got to replace that filter," and that's more frequent than if it was replacing it at 50 or 70. Do I basically have it right?
Well described, yes.
Thank you. It's my job is to understand, so, and I want people to get this is a big deal. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director at ECUA. Again, just to get people caught up who might not have been listening or catching it all, because of the new rules put in by EPA where we thought maybe the goal would have been, 10 parts per trillion or something like this, it's actually now 4 parts per trillion, which is if you can detect it, you're over. And so we have to change out these very, very expensive activated carbon filters in the wells where there is any detectable amount of PFAS. And there's timelines involved, okay? But, like, the changeouts are very expensive, not only because you've got to put in and take out the new filter, but disposal of those filters is also very expensive. And those costs have gone up because everybody's having to comply with all of this stuff, right? I mean, am I in the right vicinity here, Bruce?
Yes. And when we look at this issue, there's really two cost components. One is the capital cost of installing these filters. Like, as we said, we've got 13 other locations we're going to be adding them. We estimate we probably have $42 to $45 million worth of capital costs that we're facing over the next 3 to 5 years to just install all this equipment at the various remaining locations we need to add.
Wow.
Then after that, we'll have the operational and maintenance costs that you were just describing, and that's changing the filters. And there's so much more demand going forward for that that's going to be a challenge as well. The availability of the GAC filter equipment, places to dispose of it after it's done. Some locations are determining the GAC is considered a hazardous waste and don't want to take it at various landfills. So we have to take it to special landfills, arid landfills clear out in the far west, Arizona, New Mexico, et cetera. And that really adds a lot of expense.
And my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a very limited number of places that even take it. Because, again, it's, you know, the filter catches the PFAS that we're trying to get rid of, and people don't want to put that just, you know, in some landfill somewhere. They've got to take care of that specially. And the prices for the disposal have gone up. Like, all of that is what concerns me. What is our annual cost, if you had to guess, for the infrastructure, the capital side, which, as you said, was enormous already, but what kind of additional operating expense are we talking about just for filter replacement and maintenance?
Yeah, to give you an idea of the escalation, 3 years ago, we spent about $650,000 a year replacing filters. 4 years ago, it was only $300,000. that starting in a couple years from now, once we get more online, we estimate probably 3 million per year. And as all of those vessels come online, it may be as much as $6 million per year.
Wow. And what is the operating budget for ECUA? Like, I'm trying to put this in perspective of the overall, like, what we're going to have to pay, because we're going to have to pay. What's the overall budget for ECUA?
Overall budget for ECUA is about $92 million a year just on the O&M side, and a comparable amount in the on the CIP side. I do have some good news about the CIP side of it, though. As
Please
you know,
do. I'll take it.
Utilities across the United States have sued the manufacturers of these materials and won. While it won't cover our long ongoing costs, the good news is in the short term, ECUA, for instance, will be receiving probably in the range of about $40 to $42 million from the company 3M, probably another $5 or $6 million from a company named DuPont, a yet unknown amount from a smaller company called Tyco. That'll be a small amount as well. We probably will have close to enough funds coming in over these next 3 to 5 years to cover costs for the capital improvements, that $42, $44 million. Not quite
well,
enough, but
that's huge news. Yeah,
so
no, that's great.
That's tremendous news.
Yeah, if these companies... go ahead.
But it really doesn't address ongoing operation and maintenance. That will eventually be an issue that everybody across the nation will have to start picking up in water rates. And that's changing those filters as frequently as need be.
So putting all of that down to the bottom line that the average customer cares about, in the process of complying with this extraordinarily low testing threshold over the next several years as ECUA complies with and implements and is ahead of the curve most of the time on this stuff, which is good, what's the change in people's water bill likely to be?
That's a difficult and I hesitate to really speculate. I don't want to overestimate or
But for perspective, out of a $90 million budget, we're expecting about $3 million a year, possibly as high as $6 million a year of extra costs due to just the filter replacement and maintenance. So, you know, if that helps give people a perspective.
Yeah. Every 1% in the water and wastewater budget brings in a little over $1 million.
Okay. Well, Bruce, listen, I'd been wanting to have this conversation with you because I know this is the big thing you guys have been working on, and you've been waiting for the hammer to drop from the EPA about what this would all mean. You know, the takeaway from my point of view is, hey, you know, we realize these chemicals are bad, and we've known that, but we didn't know just, you know, how much we'd have to clean up. And, you know, we're working on it, and it's going to be expensive. But, again, like you said, getting the money from 3M and DuPont and Tyco is actually really good news in terms of defraying the cost of the – or covering maybe the cost of the capital improvement side of this equation. Bruce Woody is the executive director at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, I tell you every time because I mean it. Thank you for picking up my garbage and my recycling and giving me water and taking care of the sewer. I appreciate it. It's important work, and I appreciate the time this morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to share information with the public.
Absolutely.